I'm always afraid of what I'm going to say in this moment because I know Tyler's not going to cut it out.
I might.
All right, leaders, welcome back again to the Lathia Leaders Podcast. This is Donnie, the executive pastor here at Lathia. As always, I am joined. This time, I'm going to introduce my co-host first, Sarah McCarthy. Good to see you today.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for being here, as always, and putting up with the shenanigans that happen around this office, especially when our producer, Tyler Parker, is hanging out.
Good day.
Good day, Tyler. Is that like a goodbye good day? Or like...
I don't really know. I just was imagining myself as a member of a Charles Dickens novel, and that's just how I felt like a character would say it.
I don't know what to do with that, Sarah. But we're coming to you live from, not live, actually, no, we're coming to you pre-recorded.
Right.
From the basement of the YMCA, which is always...
Always a joyful place to
always
be.
Always a joyful place. Yeah. It is kind of nice and joyful. Tyler, do you smell that today? Do you smell that in here? It smells like a cake. You smell it?
That's
Sarah's vanilla flavored tea from across the room. You smell, and so I crave cake. Every
Living
time
my best life over here.
Your best life now.
I was really freaked out because earlier Dottie said that I smelled good, and I thought that he was asking me if I smelled myself, but instead he was just talking about Sarah's vanilla tea, which is good. It's good.
No, I was referencing you too earlier.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'll take it. Yeah.
My nose has been on steroids lately. Maybe I'm pregnant. Who knows?
This is how rumors get started, Pastor Donnie. This is how rumors get started.
Okay. Wow, we're an edgy podcast. I like that.
Yeah. An edgy podcast. So today we're actually going to be doing something different. Leaders, we have baptisms right around the corner. Who's excited about that?
Woo!
Yeah.
Yes, baptism is always fun at our church. It's a great experience. Obviously, most of you who are listening to this probably have already been a part of one by now. And it's something that we really celebrate. It's one of the two sacraments that Jesus has given to us in the church. And we really wanted to take a moment and have a conversation about baptism together. So today, Tyler will be staying on mic the whole day.
Wow.
We're going to test it out with Tyler. But leaders, here's the gist. We want to, in this time together, just simply in our next few moments, just hopefully have a conversation in your ears that helps equip you, helps you actually learn how to have conversations with others if you haven't yet done that about this topic of baptism, or maybe if you have already had conversations with others about baptism, maybe giving you some new insights or new angles from which to take. And so I know that I'm always interested to hear other people's takes on these larger scriptural ideas, and so why not do it this way? So I'm going to be learning from Sarah and Tyler as well as we go in. So first off, I just want to read a little bit to you all out of the book of Acts. This passage is something actually I just referenced in my message this past Sunday. I paraphrased it a few times. But in Acts chapter 2, there's a moment when Peter, after Pentecost, and the disciples have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, they kind of pour out in the streets, and just some supernatural things start happening, and Peter preaches this message, and the people respond to that message, and they ask him, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter's response was simply this: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were out of that day about 3,000 souls to their numbers. That's Acts 2, verse 38, and then skipping over to verse 41. But baptism here we see from Peter is part of the initial command of when people ask, well, what do I need to do to be saved? Well, baptism is right up there behind repenting of sins for people. And so that makes it pretty important for us. And so Jesus also was baptized. I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit about that here as we talk. But even before we get in, curious, I wanted to hear about the two of your baptisms. Sarah, we'll go with you first. What was it like for you? You can tell a little bit about how you came to faith, but even approaching baptism, what was the kind of the impetus behind that, and how did that kind of all play out?
Yeah, definitely. So I came to faith a couple years after college. I was living in the Philippines, and that's where I started really attending church, and someone started discipling me actually using the one-to-one book. Mm-hmm. So great woman, Alana Lee, sat with me at a coffee shop on Tuesday nights for like hours on end and would answer all my questions and just really helped me wrestle through whether or not I truly believed in Christianity. And so we went through that whole process together. And at the end, the church that I was going to, which is actually Victory Manila, so it's another Every Nation church, part of our global family of churches in the Philippines. They do a thing called Victory Weekend, which is sort of like the equivalent of our Encounter Weekend and Life and Doctrine rolled into one on steroids. It's like a weekend of establishing foundations, praying for you to be filled with the Spirit, all of that. So I went to that weekend. And it was a Friday, Saturday. And the Friday, I remember sitting in a whole bunch of talks about, like, what does it look like to live like a Christian in your relationships and with your body and with your eating and with all, like, just talking about every area of life and, like, how do these things come under the Lordship of Jesus, and starting to really be like, man, I really think I believe all this is true, but I really don't know what it looks like to live this out in my life and with my past and all of that. And so I went out to dinner that night with my small group, and it was just something about being with a group of people that were all my age and were all so normal in one sense, that they had all the same concerns and all the same.
So people like Tyler were not there.
I'm set apart, Donnie.
So Sarah hung out with normal people. Got it. All right, so.
And just like had the same worries, the same struggles, the same everything as me, but at the same time, like in their next breath would be talking about how the Bible related to that struggle or how God had changed this area of their lives. And just the naturalness with which they like flowed back and forth between those things just opened my eyes to like, oh, this is something that I can do and that is possible. And so I, that night was when things really clicked for me, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I even like felt like God changed something in me that night. And the next day I showed up to day two of the conference, and they were like, sweet, we're doing baptisms at 1:00. Who wants to come meet us at this pool in Makati in like an hour?
Yeah.
And so the woman who was there with me was like, hey, are you ready to do this? And I think I sort of just didn't give it a second thought and was like, yeah, well, if I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to be all in for this thing, I might as well go get baptized.
Yeah.
So for me, it was baptism was very much the add-on to like, okay, well, I literally came to faith less than 24 hours ago and there's a pool. I guess I should go get baptized.
Yeah. That's quick. It's a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Mm. Tyler, what about you? What happened? What was the process of you coming to faith and then getting baptized?
Yeah.
Give us that kind of how close together was that? And
well, it wasn't like Sarah's at all. Sorry. Yeah. I don't know why I thought that was funny. Anyway.
It wasn't with normal people.
Tyler and I are very different humans in general.
It's very true. It's very true. Sarah's was like very close actually to like what's happening in Acts, which is like people are like cut to the heart and then they're like, let's go get baptized. Like why? There's a pool right there. Mine was more complicated. I grew up in a small family church.
Okay.
My granddad was the pastor. There wasn't a like baptismal font like anywhere near us. Really, I didn't even know that a baptism pool was called a font at the time. Actually, until I was like 19 essentially. But so I the first time I saw baptism, it was my two older brothers getting baptized, and I think my dad also got baptized on that day, and we were at a completely different church. And my granddad was giving a sermon, and then it just so happened they had a baptism pool. It was one of those ones that's like built into the like area behind the pulpit.
Sure. Yeah.
And it looks so cool.
I grew up in that church. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Amazing. Nice. Yeah. And it looks so cool. I was like, wow, I want to get wet in church. I didn't understand at all at the time, like what baptism meant. I just thought it was like a cool way to like have church be a water park essentially. And then, I think that I became a like real Christian in college. Like, okay. Again, I grew up in the church. I knew all the Christian doctrine. I knew a lot of scriptures and stuff like that. But I didn't really kind of come to own my faith for myself until sophomore year of college, during a summer in which I just experienced God's grace in some really, really extraordinary ways. I don't have time to go into all of them, but it had a lot to do with like exposing my proclivities to judge people really intensely. And also I was in South Carolina, like working on a political campaign that summer. And, during that summer, there was a church shooting, in Charleston. And the way that the, victims' relatives like forgave the shooter made me realize that I had like such, like so much growth to have in the experience of my faith and in my relationship with Jesus. So around that time I also started discipling somebody for the first time, and that was like really cool. And I thought that he hadn't been baptized, so I thought it would be cool if we got baptized together, but he had already been baptized, but I still decided I needed to get baptized because I just hadn't been baptized yet. So I got baptized in March, I think, of my senior year of college.
Okay.
I was kind of waiting for my parents to be around, but they weren't ever gonna they weren't ever gonna be around on a Sunday where I could get baptized. So I just decided to go ahead and do it. And I'm glad I did. It also like was this moment of me realizing the depth of my spiritual family here at Aletheia. Just because there were so many of my friends from church and friends from school there to like support me making this public declaration of my faith in Christ and my devotion to Christ. So for me, baptism is deeply about like entering into spiritual family and making a public declaration about being in spiritual family. And so that was
definitely part of that. Yeah.
So that was a very cool aspect about baptism. And then maybe something that we can talk about later is potentially like the idea, like maybe like kind of clearing up some misconceptions about baptism. Because sure. I kind of imagined that when I got baptized, it would be this like special cleansing that would completely transform my desires to sin and my like temptations and other stuff like that. And yeah, there is certainly some disorientation. Like right after I got baptized, in terms of just like, oh, I thought that this would have more of an effect on me, than it actually did. Which is not to diminish the importance of baptism, but I think it's helpful to like let people know ahead of time that like God's Spirit is doing the transforming work in you and not like going underwater.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's, so where were you baptized?
I was baptized here at Aletheia. Yeah, for sure. I think that you are one of the people
who I probably was.
Oh, you hate to see it.
Smooth.
He gave it a shot though.
Tyler, Donnie, well, that was such a memorable moment. Praise God. The Holy Spirit descended. I could never forget your baptism.
Right, yeah, yeah. In all fairness, Donnie baptizes everybody, really.
Almost.
True.
Yeah.
Most of them.
There's a really awesome picture somewhere of Donnie baptizing his daughter and giving her this wonderful kiss on the forehead when she comes back up.
Yeah.
And Adam would not let me use it for any social media or anything because he was like, we don't want people to think that we kiss the people who get baptized. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense. That's interesting. Well, my baptism, I actually got baptized in a dog pool.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy story. Basically, I came to faith, grew up around church, but really submitted my life to the Lordship of Jesus in college. And that was during my sophomore year of college, or the second half of my sophomore year. And then that summer, we were having summer meetings for the campus ministry I'm part of, which was also part of our local church. Is a local church-based campus ministry. So the same kind of spiritual family, like in both locations there, but we were having a campus meeting and we were studying baptism one night, and the guy leading it, went through some scriptures we're about to talk about, but ended kind of with Acts 22:16. And now what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized.
Like,
what's the deal? And so, like, in his mind, as most campus ministers do when they say stuff like that, they're really passionate, but they're not actually thinking that people are going to, like, really take you up on it. But there are a couple of us, and they're like, yeah, what are we waiting for? Let's go. Like, right now. It's 10 o'clock on a Wednesday night in the middle of the summer. Let's go get baptized. And so they called a few people from church, and some more people showed up, and myself and, like, three or four others, and one of which being – Susan Sweat in our church. I know Susan. Tim and Susan. Tim is the leader of our back of house team for Cambridge, and Susan serves on our connection team. But we were in the same spot. We were in the same place. We got baptized at the same time together, all the way down in Tallahassee, Florida. And somebody's like, "Yeah, my apartment's got a pool. You can do it in." And so we got baptized. And after we got out, I found out that none of the people who lived in that apartment complex apparently actually swam in the pool. But everybody let their dogs swim in it instead. And I was like, that is disgusting. But praise God. But no, jokes aside, it was a powerful moment. And I do love baptism for many reasons. And I think Scripture gives us some insight about what's being accomplished in that moment. Baptism is a sacrament, and so it is a physical act that we do that does have spiritual significance. There's an effect that happens spiritually. When we participate in sacraments, it's kind of like the curtain or the veil between heaven and earth. Seems like it kind of thins out a little bit. I mean, the new heavens is not here yet, mm-hmm. but it's like in those moments when we participate with these sacraments, these physical acts, identifying with Christ and following him in obedience and all those kinds of things, it feels like it's just a sweet moment. And so I love it when we have baptism Sundays at church, mm-hmm. Especially when fantastic young men and women like Tyler Parker get baptized at a church in unforgettable fashion. It's been really a joy to do it here. So then let's take a look at why we baptize or what the scriptures have to say about it. One of my favorites is actually out of Romans chapter 6. And so if you're a leader and you want to talk to somebody about it, these are some key verses that I always use. I do talk about Acts chapter 2, but absolutely, like when Peter stands up and says, "Repent and be baptized, receive forgiveness of your sins, and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I absolutely do mention that pretty much every time I talk about baptism. But Romans 6, 1 through 4, it kind of happens within the context of a larger conversation, but what Paul says there also, I think, gives us some insight. He says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it?" In other words, he's answering this question of, should Christians just not worry about sinning and just keep just doing whatever they want because God's grace has been given to them? And Paul says, no, absolutely not, because if you do that, that's telling something that maybe perhaps you haven't actually received the grace of God. But he goes on to say this, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So for us, he's saying that for us, baptism then is a picture. On one hand, this sacrament, pictures or recalls the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So we are physically identifying with the death of Christ in that moment. We are saying that our life is dead. We are being buried. And then coming up out of the water is this whole idea of being raised to new life in Christ. And so I think it's such a powerful picture to see. And it's also public. People see that it's a declaration. It's a public declaration and also a physical identification with this gospel story personally. So I think it's powerful. Do you two know what the word baptism means by any chance? Sarah does. Tyler, I'm going to quiz you. What does the word baptism mean?
Oh, I got it. Sorry. I was trying to remember. I made a baptism video one time and I used the Greek for it and then I couldn't remember what it meant, but now I do remember.
What
it
is
means
it?
To submerge, right?
Yeah, like or fully immersed.
Yeah,
To be submerged. Yeah, and that's why we we agree with our Baptist friends on this in this regard, that we fully immerse people when we baptize them. We haul in a big old horse trough at our church, fill it full of water. It's a clean one, never been used by an actual horse. But we baptize people in that. Because it is a picture of burial, so getting the whole body under. That is not a theological statement. We love our Christian brothers and friends who do baptism a little bit differently. But this whole idea of being fully immersed, water baptism then is just a picture of that. Of course, that's how Jesus did it. And so that's why we do it the way we do it at our church. But yeah, so it's that picture of burial and resurrection coming up out. Which is, I think, so important. Sarah, what are some other scriptures you look at when you try to explain this to others?
Yeah, so another one we often talk through is 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 and 2, which is referencing back to the Israelites coming through the Red Sea. It reads, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So the story, which many of you know, is that the Israelites are in slavery in Egypt, and God brings them out of slavery with Moses as their leader and parts the Red Sea, and they walk through the Red Sea on dry ground. And the Egyptians, as they try to chase them, wind up being swept back up into the sea, and they make it through to the other side safely. And so I love this picture that baptism is the same way the Israelites were freed from literal bondage through passing through the Red Sea, that baptism is a moment when we can really trust God and believe that we'll be freed from some of our spiritual bondage that we're in sin, and come out on the other side. And of course, the Israelites didn't come out and go straight into the Promised Land, right? So
Good point, Tyler,
you were saying earlier, we're absolutely not all of a sudden sinless after we've been baptized and walking in all the fullness of the relationship with God that we could be. But at the same time, it can be easy to go the other way and say like, oh, well, baptism is just this like physical thing I'm going to do to check a box, but I don't really have any expectancy that God will move. And I think it's really powerful when we can come to baptism with the expectation that like, yeah, some of the stuff, some of the sin I'm struggling with, God could really break me free from.
Sure.
That is a picture we see in scripture as well.
Yeah. Just like the Israelites were no longer slaves to the Egyptians, we are no longer slaves to sin. Now it still might be knocking at the door at times and threat, you know, and temptation may come. Absolutely. We'll still have to fight, but we are no longer, it no longer rules over us. And so when we identify with Christ, when we've repented of our sins, that baptism is another public expression of that reality in our lives. When I talk to people about that scripture, particularly, and thinking about bondage to sin, I try to encourage people to put a little faith in this moment. Like you said, it's not just a box being checked, but every time we follow Christ in obedience, He is more magnified in our lives. We get to experience he is more relationally close to us because we're no longer walking away from it. We continue to walk towards and with him into the future that he has for us. And so I unashamedly tell people to expect greater victory over sin on the other side of baptism. Not complete. We're not perfect. And again, you're referencing back to Tyler, your story, from before. No, there's still things that we have to fight as Christians. There is opposition for us to live the way that God has called us to live in our broken world. Mm-hmm. And yet when we participate in this sacrament, I 100% believe, I've personally experienced this and seen it so many times, that there is, I believe, a greater outpouring of God's grace and walking in freedom over that sin. It's not true magic. I don't want to go down that road. It's not just like all of a sudden everything's better. But yet, it seems like God kind of turns up that grace outflow. At least that's what I've experienced.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. If you know, a sacrament is sort of this place where heaven meets earth in the anticipation for God's kingdom, in which heaven will like completely... In other words, like in some sense, like earth will be baptized in heaven. Like it makes sense for Christians to ask for like a taste of being a new creation.
Yeah.
in that moment of baptism, which is a symbol of being a new creation, right? You like mm-hmm. you die to sin and then you come up and you are raised into victory over sin and yeah. raised into new life in Christ. And so it's certainly not just a symbol, right? And it's an opportunity to pray like Jesus prays, which is that the Father's will would be done and that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. In that moment.
That's so, a great point.
That and like here at Aletheia, at least, people will be surrounding you and like praying for you. And that's like a really cool thing to have a lot of different people praying for you for. That's a weird sentence. But essentially, like, yeah, to have a whole bunch of Christians like in agreement that God would give you a taste of what it means to be a new creation in him or like a deeper experience of being a new creation in him is a super powerful experience. And like the scripture says that the prayers of the righteous are really effective.
We do after we baptize, we have the way that we do it here at our church, for anybody who might be listening not from our church, is we worship as a church family while people are being baptized. We put them up on we have baptized pretty low on the floor because of the weight of the water. So people can't see, but so we broadcast it up on the screens, but we also have our worship team playing and people singing, songs and hymns of praise to God for what God has done, because this is just such a faith, a prodding, just a amping moment, for all of us when we see God's changing lives. And so it's really cool not only just as a participant, but also to be in the room, as you just get to see God's goodness all over other people. And then we pray for people. For the Holy Spirit to be increased, Peter says, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we already know the Holy Spirit's been at work to save people. But we do unashamedly in that moment, we lay hands on people and pray and ask that God would give them a greater filling, a greater measure of his presence or his giftings and all just more of his Spirit. And even his protection, in that moment, trusting, that he would seal what's happening, in that time. That's powerful. Hey, Sarah, so you have a lot of conversations about baptism. I know many of our staff members do. What's a common conversation look like for you when you sit down and you talk to somebody who's considering baptism? What do you do? What do you talk about?
Yeah, so I sort of have three main buckets that I try to cover in a baptism conversation with someone. This obviously depends, like if it's someone who's in my group and who I know their story and know a lot about them, or if it's someone who, you know, wrote it down on a connection card and we haven't met before and we're trying to get to know one another at the same time that we're talking about this. But the three main things I try to cover are basically, I ask to hear their testimony and I really try to listen for, like, have they truly repented and come to faith?
That's great.
And a lot of the time, just hearing people's stories, it's very easy to tell, like, oh, it's not so much about, like, was there a defining moment in their life or not that they, like, came to faith, as it is, as they're telling the story, is it clear that they know they're saved by God's grace and not by their works? Is it clear that they have a personal relationship with God, that this is, that Jesus is really Lord over their life?
It's like, not are just there any issues? I feel bad and I want to.
Or like, I grew up in church and I've never done this before, so I guess it's probably time for me to do it. So I really try to push into some of those areas and just see, like, does it seem like you really have an understanding of the gospel and like it's taken root in your life? And that's not meant to be like, I'm trying to evaluate you to see if you're good enough to get baptized, as much as it's not really loving for us to baptize someone for whom their understanding of the gospel is still off or something like that. And so it's an opportunity to really check in with people and say, I'll even sometimes ask if I'm not sure from their story, if they really do understand the gospel, I'll just say like, hey, how would you summarize this? And can we talk about, if they say sort of like, well, God is love, and so I should follow him and don't say anything about sin. I'll be like, hey, well, what is your understanding of our role in that and our sin and whatnot, and just like trying to dig deeper, because it's regardless of whether or not baptism is the right next step, it's an opportunity for someone to grow and figure out what the right next step is for them in their faith. So that's sort of the first bucket, is like, have they repented and come to faith? In which case, Acts 2:38 means like, yeah, if they've repented, it's time for them to get baptized.
Yeah.
So then I'll move to talking about the significance of baptism and just seeing, like, do they understand why baptism is important?
Yeah.
And then finally, do they have any questions? Because those baptism conversations are really an opportunity for them too to get to answer their questions. And there are some really common ones that come up quite a bit. So it's good to check in with people.
So backing up on when you kind of start to begin kind of explaining baptism, you just primarily use the scriptures, the two that we've already talked about, as well as a couple others, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I will just take a one-to-one book with me. The ones we just talked about are in the baptism chapter in the one-to-one book. So I'll just read them together with them and say, and talk about the symbolism of different ones and sort of say, do you have any questions? Basically everything Pastor Donnie and I just said about the verses is written in the one-to-one book.
Yeah.
And so it's not like you have to have this like deep theological understanding of baptism to walk someone through this moment. Sure. It's really just like, hey, let's read this chapter in this book together and talk about what it means together.
There's another three or four verses written in there and you can just easily read through them and go over them with other people. I think it's powerful.
Yeah.
And what did you say your step three was?
Seeing what questions they have around baptism.
So what are some common questions you guys hear about baptism?
What is it for?
Yeah.
I think. just because I think a lot of people have this conception of like it's a thing that like washes your sins away or something.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a biblical misnomer.
Right.
In some ways.
In fact, in the one-to-one book, it actually talks about that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How about that? Good slow pitch, Tyler.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I do done. What I can.
1 Peter 3:20, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptisms, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, so not washing it away, but as an appeal of God, to God, for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's basically saying Jesus, the salvation, the power of salvation for you is through the work of Jesus Christ. And again, this baptism is identifying with that. You should be baptized, but if you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus and repent of your sins, then walk out on your way to get baptized and get run over by the one bus as it comes down Mass Ave, it's not going to preclude you from presence in eternity with God.
That's good.
And so it's important to know that.
I've also heard, because there are some groups across the United States, here in Boston as well, who argue that like baptism is essential for salvation.
Yes, we would argue not.
Right.
I find it helpful. I get that question comes up a ton in our baptism meetings. And I find it helpful to sort of go to both extremes with someone and talk about them, to say, like, okay, so on the one hand, we see when Jesus is being crucified, a man next to him, he says, "You will be with me today in paradise," when he acknowledges Jesus for who he is. Mm-hmm. And so that man was clearly not baptized. So we have a clear example of someone who's been promised paradise by Jesus without having been baptized.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But then on the other, like, extreme, it's very rare that someone who's asking the question is saying, "I know I'm imminently about to be hit by a bus. Is it okay if I haven't been baptized yet?" It's much more common that people are saying, like, "Do I have the option of just coming to faith in Jesus, but saying no to baptism just because I don't really want to?" Or, like, so on and so forth. And there's nowhere in scripture that we see people come to faith in Jesus and intentionally not get baptized.
Yeah,
we see situations where people can't get baptized, but not where they get to sort of say, like, "I'm opting into faith in Jesus, but I'm opting out of baptism." And so I like to push back pretty hard on people about that, just because I think most often when we're asking that question, it's because we're trying to get out of something that Jesus has pretty clearly called us to do.
It's kind of a lordship issue at that point.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, being a Christian means participating in the story of Jesus. Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we have all sorts of really incredible opportunities to, like, participate in Jesus's work, whether it comes from, like, praying for people to be healed or actually seeing people be healed, to extending love to other people, and especially, like, the less fortunate, the disenfranchised, outcasts of society, et cetera, et cetera, to even participating in Jesus's, like, persecutions sort of the shame that he endured for the glory set before him.
Yeah.
Right. And baptism is just another part of Jesus' story that we get the opportunity to participate in. Because like right at the beginning of his ministry, like one of the things that inaugurates his ministry like the work that he's about to do is him getting baptized. Oh, yeah. So like, why not
and participate? The descension of the Holy Spirit upon him afterwards.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all I was saying. Yeah.
So I've got another really common one, Pastor Donnie, for you, because I feel like you're really good at speaking to this. What about if I was baptized as an infant by my parents? Does that quote unquote count as a baptism? Should I be baptized again?
Yeah.
So on and so forth.
So there's a word used to describe our theological position or our stance on when baptism takes place. And that's, we are credo Baptists. In other words, we baptize people in response to a profession of faith in Jesus. And that's the role we see in scripture. However, we do know that early on in church history, not too long, a few hundred years into the history of the church, some people started baptizing infants. And the reason why they did that, and the reason why many denominations still do baptize infants, and then they'll do like a confirmation later, is because it's a sign. Now, there are some who believe that it saves them and it secures their place in heaven. We would disagree with that. But what most people are doing is, it's in the heart behind it, is baptizing infants is a commitment of the parents to raise their children as part of the covenant that we are all of, that we live under. We affirm that. I affirm that. That's the way I want to raise my kids as a dad. That heart posture is what I'm trying to affirm right now, is that I'm going to raise my kids like children of the covenant of Jesus. I'm not going to raise them like reprobate sinners, even if they are. I'm going to like pray, and I'm going to speak destiny over them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell them about God's call in their life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell them about Jesus and how he's their rescuer, and hope one day that they will personally, by grace through faith, put their hope and trust in Jesus and walk in relationship with him. The reason we don't baptize infants again is because we don't see that in scripture. So we do dedicate infants. So when people ask us, should I be rebaptized? I always just put it back on the conscience of others. In scripture, it is first you repent and you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. But I do trust that if somebody has repented, they can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so it's not a hill I'm willing to die on, you know, as far as like every person I meet. But within this house, we encourage people when they come to faith to be baptized afterwards. I probably would encourage it if somebody went through confirmation and just did it because they had to and they weren't actually Christian when they went through confirmation. I'd probably push on that one pretty hard. But I don't know that the I can't tell the posture of their heart from years ago when that happened. So I always like to push that back on the conscience of others. But going back to scripture, we see that people were baptized after praise. Publicly professing their faith in Jesus. I was baptized as a kid. Personally, I was baptized. Now I did not grow. I grew up in a church that was not. They were credo Baptist as well. And I just knew all the right answers, and so I got in. And I was pretty good at hiding the reality of my heart, if you will. Mm. And
wait, sorry. Can I ask a question before you finish?
Yeah.
Does credo Baptist, like, is that like a mixture of the words like creed and Baptist?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
In baptism, yeah.
Nice.
So after you adopt the creed, you are then baptized.
Gotcha.
Cool. And so as opposed to paedo-baptist, which is child baptism.
That's right.
Interesting. Fun facts with the Aletheia Leaders podcast. So personally, I was baptized as a kid, but it was in response to what everybody around me thought was true repentance. When I was older, now my wife was baptized as an 8-year-old, and she... Everything's been up and to the right since then. Serving Jesus, my wife's amazing. I love her. Like, she never knew a day apart from Jesus. Like, since then, I mean, she's not perfect, but at the same time, like, you know, the relationship with God has marked her life since that day. Me, on the other hand, not the case. And so, when I was 20 years old, and God radically transformed my life, and I really just submitted to Jesus' Lordship, I was convinced and convicted, even, and not because anybody told me, but from the Scriptures, that I should be baptized again. If you do baptism right, you only have to do it once.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have had other people come and ask, well, I was baptized as a kid, should I be baptized again? And sometimes in a mode of insecurity or even fear, like maybe that didn't count. And so I'm never one to say, oh, if you feel like it, just go ahead and jump in. I want to talk to them about this as well, because here's the other side of that coin sometimes. Sometimes people, our enemy is lying to them about their security and their relationship with God. And so just because
they've had a dry spell with God and a season of not really feeling his presence. If they, you know, in the sense of maybe they once thought they did and they're just kind of confused about some things, sometimes people ask that question and they just need to be encouraged that there's nothing that can tear them out of the Father's grasp. Mm. They're his. Mm. He is Jesus' blood purchased relationship with them, and he has them. And so if they submitted the Lordship of Christ and were baptized, and the baptism absolutely 100% counts. And so I want to encourage people as well in those moments. So I'm always trying to listen to the Holy Spirit when that question is asked. I know you gave a very long answer, but that's a tricky one depending on what tradition people come out of, where their parents are, if their parents are still serving Jesus or not, what their experience has been since then. And so you have to wade through all those things. But that's what we're after is where's their heart? Where's their conscience? Is the enemy just subverting some truth that God's already tried to place in them? Or do they actually need to walk through this now at this moment in time? So,
I have one more question that comes up quite a bit that I think has a pretty quick answer. But I get quite often, especially if someone is has a story similar to mine where they come to faith quite quickly, uh-huh. like they go from I'm totally not a Christian to I definitely believe this and I want to get baptized
yeah.
in a shorter period of time. I very often get like, well, what do I do if I don't know what the Bible says about blank? Like I know that I believe in Jesus and I want to get baptized, but I don't know everything the Bible says yet. So I don't know if I'm doing it all right yet is a common one that I get. Mm-hmm. I have an answer that I give, but I don't know if you guys want to chime in.
I have a kind of cheeky answer that I would simply say, well, I don't know what the Bible says about everything either. And so, does it matter? That's what I would kind of say, you know, you don't have to know all that. What do you say?
Yeah, sort of similarly. I sort of push it back on, okay, sure. So you don't know exactly what the Bible, you know, maybe says about how you're going to live your relationships out from here on out, for example. Mm. The decision to get baptized is not necessarily like, I know what all the Bible's going to say about everything as much as, do I know who gets to decide? Like yeah, when I find great. Out what the Bible says about XYZ, am I going to filter it through? Am I okay with this or not? Or have I come to a place of like, no, God gets to decide. So when I learn what the Bible says I should do with that's my money, I'm going to do it. Yeah. And that's a very different heart posture from like, if I don't know all the answers, then how do I know if I'm going to agree with the answers when I find them? Mm. Which to me might be a sign of like, there's some more exploring to be done first. Yeah.
That's super good. I mean, it's the question is almost like questioning whether a baby can be born if they're not omniscient. It's like when you experience baptism, it's like, you know, experiencing being a new creation.
Right.
And like when a baby's born, it doesn't know everything there is to know about everything.
Yeah.
But like Sarah said, like one of the markers of being a new creation is submitting to Jesus's lordship. And so like that's if you're there, you're like, I'm going to submit to Jesus's lordship. Like, welcome to the world, child.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
This vast world that you're going to have to start to figure out.
Yeah,
slowly. Yeah,
exactly.
No. That's great, Tyler. Tyler, I think Sarah's more holy than we are.
Probably.
Not true.
It's a great lordship. She's like, let's bring back the lordship. Who calls the shots? That's good.
She must have go to Harvard or something.
Well, all right, leaders, we're going to sign off for now. But I hope that brief conversation encouraged you. Here's the reality. You can talk about these things. You can grab it one-to-one. You can pull up just a couple of these verses and have it a good, meaningful conversation to help lead people to this point of baptism. We have people coming to our church and people are so mobile now that we're just not sure where they're at. And so when you come into someone and they love Jesus, they've never been baptized, absolutely talk to them. It doesn't have to be weird. Sarah, what were your 3 points one last time?
Asking for their testimony and seeing if they've truly repented and come to faith
is
number one. Number two is just helping them understand the significance of baptism, often with the one-to-one book. And the third thing is just answering any of the questions they have, which are most often the ones that we just talked about.
Yeah. They're pretty simple. And usually it's not very profound. Sometimes it might take two conversations, but I've never had any that took more than that. But please press in the Holy Spirit, listen to him. And if you have any questions, you can always follow up with the pastors or section leaders or other leaders of the church. We love you. We're so proud of you. Tyler, hit that outro music.